chapter number 22. We're going to be taking our text from that chapter there at verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter number 22. Praise the Lord. I made mention on Sunday that I would be preaching, ministering on unpossessed possessions. And that's what I'm going to minister on here tonight. Kind of think about that just for a little bit. Unpossessed possessions. What does that mean? That means something that I have, but I don't have. It's interesting, isn't it? Unpossessed possessions. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse number 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth of Gilead, or Gilead, whichever way you want to say it, is ours. And we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. I want to make point to that again. Is ours. And we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. Praise our God. Father in heaven, we rejoice in your holy word, in the truths of your kingdom. Lord God, in the provisions that have been made in your great plan of salvation. Father, I ask you, Lord God, to anoint us tonight. Lord God, give us clarity of mind and help us to share this message, O God, to stir our hearts, stir our souls. Lord God, that we will possess those things that belong to us. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated again tonight. Hallelujah. Unpossessed possessions. We've kind of got a story, a scenario going on here in the history of Israel. Syria has come, has taken this portion of land, this city, from Israel. They have now had it in their possession for 3 years. There's not been any wars with Syria for 3 years. So ever since Syria took this possession, then there was no more war up until this point. For 3 years, they were satisfied not having their possession. Got to remember, you got to back up a little bit. God gave that land to Israel. Israel conquered that land. It was the promised land of God. God had promised it to Abraham. Hallelujah. And he brought it to pass through Joshua. And it belonged to them. It was their possession. It was, and catch this. This is what I'm wanting you to get a hold of. It was their promise of God. God's dictation to them. That was their land. And they were to possess it. I'm going to say that one again. That was their land. And they were to possess it. Now remember, I'm talking about unpossessed possessions here tonight. Hallelujah. And so I want to start out. I've got about 3 points I want to share here tonight. First point is, what is ours and not ours? What is ours and not ours? You see, there are promises in God's Word for us. But yet there are some times we do not walk in that promise. There are times that we do not choose to believe that promise. If you'll remember correctly with me tonight, everything about the kingdom of God is a choice. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was grading some of our school students' work this week. And we've got some younger students this year. And there was a statement in one of the answers that God loves us and He will make us do right. I'm waiting for that one to happen with that student. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so be it, Lord. But, you know, it let me realize that, you know, sometimes the young ones don't fully understand the choice is ours of how we're going to operate, how we're going to act. And so there's a few things here that are ours, but sometimes they are not ours because we choose not to possess them. Hallelujah. In Philippians 4 and 7, it says, "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." You see, peace, undisturbed peace, is promised to the children of God. God's peace is promised to us. And actually such a peace that will keep my heart and my mind. Oh, the very two places the enemy loves to attack. My heart, my mind. Make me doubt, make me fear, my mind. Then, oh, it's a wonderful thing to be creative and have an imagination until you let the devil get a hold of it. How that mind starts running. When doubt and fear begin to attack the heart, then the mind begins running to every scenario that could happen that would be bad. But there's a promise from God that I don't have to let that happen. Hallelujah. That I can lay a hold of the peace of God. Hallelujah. It will help me not allow my imagination to run. It will help me to let faith be strong in my heart. Hallelujah. And my mind set on an almighty God for the given situation. Woo! You see, that's ours. But sometimes it's not. It's not because God takes it away. It's because we choose to go the other way instead of the peace of God way. Woo! We've got to possess the promise. We've got to reach forth for the promise. We've got to put forth the effort for the promise. Hallelujah. Here's another one, James 4 and 6, but He giveth more grace. Aren't you thankful for that? Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You see, absolute surrender is ours. But sometimes it's not. Hallelujah. It's ours to possess. But sometimes it becomes that unpossessed possession. It's those times of surrender around that altar of prayer that we experience multitudes of times. But then as we go forth into the battle, as we go forth back into normal life, so to speak, then that surrender is put to the test to see if we really possess that possession. Hallelujah. Praise our God. That submission to God. Resist the devil. Notice that it starts out, submit yourselves to God. Until there is submission to God, you will not have the unction nor the power to resist the devil. Hallelujah. There's got to be that absolute surrender to an almighty God so that you will have the thought to resist instead of move with the temptation of the enemy. So absolute surrender is ours, but sometimes it's not ours. That promise that when we draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh unto us is ours, but sometimes it's not ours because we choose not to draw nigh to God. Have you ever chose not to draw nigh to God? You ever watched a child that's been disobedient and how they always meander away from the parents because they don't want to get caught? They don't want to draw nigh to mom and dad because they know there might be a little bit of problem, conflict happen in the scenario of life. Have you ever found yourself not wanting to draw nigh to God because you knew the conflict was going to be there when you got there? Because of your behavior you did today? Hallelujah. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh unto you. Then you will have the power to cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. There's got to be that step of submission. There's got to be that step of surrender. There's got to be stepping forth to possess that promise. Hallelujah. For it to become part of my life, I've got to move towards it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1. Verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. Now this is ours. But sometimes it's not. Woo! Sometimes this is an unpossessed possession. Hallelujah. We know that it's real. We know that it's God's Word. We know the power of God is real. We know the power of the Holy Ghost. But sometimes it's an unpossessed possession. We don't walk in that power. We walk in our own strength, in our own mind. And we find ourselves then coming up a little short on our boldness for witness. We find ourselves a little short on our boldness of integrity. I mean, these are just a few things. I mean, it's really unlimited. I mean, when you're talking about God's Word and the promises of God's Word for the children of God, and that's why I love it. I love to call it the greatest plan of salvation, the great plan of salvation, because God's plan of salvation is perfect. It's concise. It has everything a child of God will need to maintain everything God wants done. Wow. That's God's plan. Hallelujah. But sometimes it's an unpossessed plan. Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a promise. What a promise. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I mean, you know, you're sitting at a restaurant and your glass is getting empty. And the waiter or the waitress comes by and puts in two drops and starts walking off. What are you going to do? You know, you just took a large amount of food into your mouth and you're having a hard time getting it put down your throat and you're wanting a good drink to get it all washed down. I'm talking to the gulpers right now. And you're wanting something to drink to get it all washed down, and all she put was two drops in there. That you might be filled with two drops of God? I mean, have you ever thought about it? What's it like to be filled with the fullness of God? You want me to tell you what it's like? You remember that time when you got saved and you was washed and you were clean and you were full? Oh, I mean, you just there was nothing greater in your entire life than what God had just done in your life and how He had just changed you on the inside. And you were just full of joy. You were just full of gladness. You were full of humility. You were full, hallelujah, of gratitude and thanksgiving. What happened to that fullness? Unpossessed possessions. Woo! God of heaven. Hallelujah. We are going somewhere. We're going to high side here in a minute. Right now we're dragging kind of low, but we're going to high side. Hallelujah. These are things that are ours. I mean, these are things that have been provided by the finished work of Calvary, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ascension of Christ to the right hand of the Father, the sending back of the Holy Ghost, the giving of His Holy Word. I mean, these are the things that God has provided that you and I could be full of God. Hallelujah. But here's the second point. For whatever reason, we have a strange contentment to have imperfect possession. We're satisfied with just two drops. We're satisfied with showers of blessings instead of rivers of life. Oh. Woo. Sometimes it comes to the fact that we become blind or ignorant to the unattained possibilities of our Christian life. I mean, that means we become content with right where we're at, instead of longing for the impossibilities and opportunities that have not yet happened of the promises of an Almighty God. Woo. In our lives. See, a lot of times we will try to start laying a hold of the promises of God for ministry, for work, for evangelism. That's wonderful, that's great, but I'm talking about personal growth. Hallelujah. Laying a hold of the unquenchable, unlimited opportunities of the fullness of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise our God. Man, I'm walking all over my toes here tonight, but I'm loving every minute of it. Praise our God. You see, it had been 3 years since they had possessed Ramoth. And they were content to live life without Ramoth. How long has it been since the power of God has taken you to a place of worship you've never been before? Are you content with where you're at? Are you realizing you want Ramoth back? Oh, let's take another step in a different direction. Did you used to be an avid, excited, intense worshiper of God? But now you let everybody else do it. That's a temptation. I don't know whether you know that or not. That is that old spectator mentality. Let the young people do it. Hey, I just told them the other day, I'm a teenager trapped in a 60-year-old's body. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it's something God has dealt with me. There is no reason to delinquish in praise and worship and magnifying of God. Hallelujah. Just because your body's a little tired and worn. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise be to our God. Thank you, Jesus. So we're seeing here then there's a strange contentment for the imperfect possession of all the things God has promised to us. Sometimes there's things that we have acquired and possessed. They used to have Ramoth. It used to be in their possession. But they lost it. Revelation 2 and 4, nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Wow. How do you lose something like that? I mean, that's like losing $1 million, in my opinion. How do you lose something like that? By being preoccupied with something besides that. That's how you lose that first love. I mean, they had a lot of good things going for them. I just chose this scripture out, but you know the rest of the story. They had some good things going for them, but this is the unpossessed possession. This is what they once had, but lost. And Christ was saying, it's time for you to get it back. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you realize nor understand the connotation of the word repent. Repent means change your mind first and change your habit second. Hallelujah. You got to change your mind. What's that mean? You got to call it wrong. And then do something about it. Hallelujah. That's what the word repent is talking about. Notice he said repent, do the first works. That's how it's got to happen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I mean, that unpossessed possession will not become your possession until you do something about it. Woo, praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Now this one might rub some folks the wrong way. But I've always said all along the way preaching, if the shoe fits, wear it. Hallelujah. In other words, if you think I'm preaching at you, I am. That's why we're here. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the king said, we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. We'd rather have an easy road than put forth the effort it takes to get it out of the enemy's hand. We'd rather just be content and ease our way on to heaven, maybe. Woo! I don't find anywhere where we're easing our way to heaven at all. All I find is fight the good fight. Hallelujah. Run the race. Praise God. Lay hold of eternal life. I mean, I've got those scriptures here in just a little bit. Praise God. But I don't find that it's a bed of ease. But you see, he said, we be still. That means we ain't doing one thing about change. We are not doing one thing. Of course, they were fixing to go do something about it in the story. And there's more to that story. But in this portion of Scripture, the reality is he's bringing it to their attention. We've been lazy. We've been content. And we haven't even tried to take this city back. Wow. Woo. In Numbers 14:24. It says, but my servant Caleb. Have y'all had a Caleb encounter? Okay. I may not have been here that night. Yeah, I think I was. It was good. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. I like the way that it says that. That means the Holy Ghost was with him. He had another spirit with him, or in him, or for him. They're all prepositions when you get down to the English language. And hath followed me. Oh, here's a good, wonderful word. Fully. Hallelujah. You want to be filled with the fullness of God, then you're going to have to fully follow. Praise God. And you'll be filled with the fullness of God. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know the rest of the story. The majority of us have been in church for a while. But the rest of the story is the reality of when, after they'd walked around the mountain for 40 years in the wilderness, and all the children of Israel had died and passed on, now the children had raised up, and now the only two left from the original group that came out of the land of Egypt was Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb said, "Give me that mountain where the giants are." Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. We've got to have that same type of spirit. I want to possess everything Jesus Christ has died for to give to me in my life and my spiritual growth, that I might walk with Him, live for Him, and operate in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That was the spirit of Caleb. That was the desire of Caleb. Can you imagine Caleb today? Woo! Baptized in the Holy Ghost, looking for anywhere, everywhere, and anything that he could do for the kingdom of God. Woo! If God didn't call him to preach, then he'd be a preacher's man. Are you getting the picture? Woo! Hallelujah! Just looking for something that God wants done anywhere. Wow. I kind of get a little bit humorous when I hear some of these young people, "Oh man, I want to be a preacher." Are you sure about that? Woo. I want to be a preacher because I want to be up behind that pulpit. I want to holler and scream at people. Whoa. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Yeah. Yeah. He had another spirit. See, this is the effort needed to make our own ours. It's going to take another spirit. It's going to take the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to continually stir us, and then us willing to follow Him. Praise our God. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Hallelujah. In other words, you gotta fight to maintain the faith. You got to lay hold of the eternal life that has been given you. See, it's ours right now. I'm going to live forever. Not on this earth. Thank God. Hallelujah. Not on this earth. Hallelujah. But I'm going to live forever. I have eternal life. It is my possession. It is my promise. Hallelujah. And I need to live like I have eternal life. Praise God. That's why I'm not living for the things of this world. I'm living for the eternal life. Hallelujah. I'm laying up my treasures in that home above. Glory to God. I don't misunderstand me. You got to have money here, and you got to have more now than you used to. That's just all the way it is. I'll just give you a little example. A bottle of lemon juice was $2.85 a month ago. Now it's $3.15. Not a big hike. That just means probably in another month it'll be $3.45. Sorry. I don't want to scare you, but we're living in perilous times and things are not going well in America. But our president assures us things are going according to plan. I agree with him 100%. But things are also going according to God's plan. Hallelujah to the King. And when the church is taken out of here, Joe Biden's not going to be glad he's left. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to the King. But we're going to be glad we're gone. Praise be to our God. So we got to fight the good fight of faith. We got to lay hold on eternal life. This is talking about effort. This is talking about doing. This is work. This is work. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Some folks think I work too much. I probably do. That's just the way I was raised. I was raised on a farm. And you worked from daylight till dark. You got to have a little fun in between. Dad wasn't watching.
Yep.
I was a kid. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yep. When Dad was off in the field somewhere else, me and the other hired hand was running around in the pasture on little motorcycles playing tag. We made sure we got the work done that we were assigned, but we didn't look for any more. I shouldn't say that. That's not a good thing. But now you understand how I know how you are. Praise God. I've been there. Hallelujah. And you've been, I'm talking to Titus, my grandson right now, you've been called Little Dougie, so do I know you or what? Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to the King. It takes effort. It takes effort. Now, here's the other side of that story. We worked twice as hard to get the job done so we could go play. Nowadays, they just want to go play and not work. But we worked twice as hard to get the job done so we could go. And this is what I tried to instill in my school. Get your work done. Not just go through it and answer questions. That's not getting your work done. And I'm stomping their toes right now. Praise God. It's terrible when you're the pastor and the principal. Glory. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That's what you're called to. That's what God's called you for. That's what God saved you for. Hallelujah. To do that. Hebrews 12 and 12, wherefore, this is a very popular scripture, very highly quoted scripture, but yet it is such a truth, hallelujah, that sometimes we don't possess. Do you realize just because you can quote a scripture doesn't mean you possess it? Just because you read it over and over and over again and memorize it does not mean you possess it. Hallelujah. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. You ever get tired of doing work? Wherefore lift up the hands that hang down? You pick them up and you go on anyway. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down? The feeble knees. That's talking about tired of doing what you're doing. Hello? Make straight paths for your feet. In other words, don't meander here, there, and everywhere. Focus. Focus on what you're doing. This is not school, students. This is preaching. This is Christian living. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. In other words, God's not going to put up with nonsense. Woo! That's what this scripture's talking about. God's not going to put up with nonsense. Why? Because the provision has been made. The promise has been given. And it's yours. You need to possess it. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Follow peace with all men. Oh, now we're moving up to the adults. Yeah. Follow peace with all men. A lot of folks really hammer down on holiness in this scripture, but they really need to hammer down more on following peace with all men. It's sad to say, I've met a lot of holiness folks that ain't very peaceful folks. They just seem like they love conflict because it follows them everywhere they go. Follow peace with all men. That means treat everybody the way you want to be treated. Follow peace with all men. Sometimes it ain't going to work. It ain't going to happen. And folks ain't going to treat you right. That does not give you the right to treat them wrong. Hello? I'm talking Christianity now. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Are you seeing really the difficulties of laying hold of the possession? Do you realize how hard it is sometimes to follow peace with all men? You know, let's go back to the waiter or the waitress that puts two drops in your cup. I never did answer what she is going to do. I don't know if you did either. Is he going to suck it up and smile? And hopefully she'll bring you two more drops? Believe it or not, I've just been through a test like this. Not with a waitress. I showed up to my doctor's appointment this week 8 minutes late. They told me I couldn't get in to see the doctor because I was 8 minutes late and I'd have to come back another time. You want to know what my carnal man wanted to do? Now, really, I'd already prepared myself because I knew he was running late, and I thought, you know, they probably ain't going to let me in. So I was already ready. I was prepared for the transition. Praise God. Woo! Because I knew there was a high possibility they were going to say, oh, we can't see you because you're late. Kind of how they are anymore. I said, okay. She said, let me go ask the doctor. So she went. Asked the doctor, she'd come back, and she still had the same somber face. She wasn't smiling. She was probably scared to death what I was going to do when she told me. She said, doctor said she can't see you because you're late. I said, okay. She said, do you want to make another appointment? I said, sure. So, can you do it on this day? Nope, can't do it that day. You want to do it on this day? Nope, can't do it that day either. So I'm a busy man. I kind of let her know I'm a busy man, you know. That's why I had it on this day at this time, you know. I didn't do that. But so she gave me another appointment, but I don't know if I'm going to keep it or not. I really don't feel like that was a right thing to do. Just being 8 minutes late. I wouldn't have done it to anybody. But maybe they're not Christians. I don't know. Because I would treat other people how I want to be treated. And I'm pretty confident if that little gal that was sitting across me come in 8 minutes late, she'd want to see the doctor. And I'm pretty confident if the doctor said she couldn't see and me wanted to see a doctor, she'd want to see a doctor if she was 8 minutes late. So what am I after? I'm after the effort it takes to follow peace with all men. Is what I'm after. The effort it takes to follow after holiness. Because it kind of goes along hand in hand. Holiness is keeping that inner man crucified. Righteousness is treating the other people right. See, it's a battle just to crucify and follow after holiness. And then on top of it, smile while you're doing it. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Did you just hear that right? Did I hear that right? Can you fail of the grace of God? What does that mean? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. That means it's ours to possess. And we don't want to possess it. Thus the grace of God avails for nothing to us. Oh yeah, we call on the grace of God for a lot of things, but the grace of God is there that I can possess the possession, that I can be transformed, that I can move into those transitions, hallelujah, those seasons of time, praise God. Oh, glory. I mean, we've had a lot of things come our way this last week of the glorious things of the kingdom of God. And so we see then, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Can I put it to you like this? You didn't possess the possession, and you lost it. And you railed, and you tormented, and you destroyed with words because you were mad. What is that? That's a root of bitterness. Because it didn't go your way. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not. And thereby many be defiled. In other words, your testimony for Jesus Christ just turn people away from God. Oh, Lord, help me to be diligent and pay attention to what I'm doing and make sure I am possessing my possession so that when I encounter people, they're going to encounter Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They're going to encounter the love of God. They're going to encounter the kindness of God. They're going to encounter the goodness of God. Why? Because it is my possession. It is given freely of Almighty God. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Glory be to our God. It's what God wants to bring into our lives in an abundant supply. Hallelujah. So that we can be the witness that He called us to be. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. But you see, because if we're not, then many may be defiled. Many may turn away. Now, I don't think there's a one of us sitting here tonight that want to turn anyone away from Jesus Christ. That's a right desire. But do you possess enough of the promises of God not to do that? Praise our God. Woo! Hallelujah. All these things are God's gifts. The power. Hallelujah. And all the promises. But you and I have to rise up and receive of them. And I'm going to close with 1 Corinthians, 1 Colossians 3:21. It says, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. All is yours. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, the door shall be open. That promise is not for healing. I may upset somebody's apple cart. That promise is not for housing. It's not for material gain. That promise is for spiritual growth. The very thing we don't ask for most of the time. The very thing we're content to not possess, our possession. Christ was letting the disciples know there is no good thing that God withhold from His children. Once again, that's talking about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Not talking about earthly possessions. Don't misunderstand me. God is concerned. He told us in His Word He's concerned. If He's concerned about two sparrows, He's concerned about you and what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to live. That's His promise. Hallelujah. Those are things that we really don't have to worry about, nor even pray about. I'm not telling you not to pray about it, but I'm just trying to get it across to you. You don't have to worry about those things if you'll worry about possessing the possessions that God has given to us for spiritual growth. He says, I'll take care of these things. That's His promise, not mine. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when I am more concerned about my spiritual growth than I am about the natural things of this world and the cares of this life, you can rest assured those things will be taken care of in due time. As I'm drawing nigh to God and God's drawing nigh to me and I am possessing my possessions. Whew, hallelujah to the Lamb. Because they're all mine. Call me greedy if you want, but they're all mine. But you can say the same thing. They're all yours. Hallelujah. Because God will not withhold. So let us not be still any longer. Let us arise. Let's go forward. Let us lay hold of what God has for us. And He has been moving and He has been speaking. Hallelujah. But I want you to stop and I want you to ponder. Have you possessed everything He showed you you could possess? Or have you been content with imperfect possession? Let me bring it down to just easily understood. I know what I need to be doing, but I can't seem to get it done. Anybody ever said that in here beside me? What is that? I'm being content with not gaining my possession. I'm being content with where I'm at. I'm not really wanting to put forth the effort to go higher, go farther, or make it happen. Because it's always a choice away. That's why God, in His love, in His mercy, in His grace, in His kindness, moves by the Spirit of God, speaks by the Word of God, speaks by the Spirit of God. That's why messages keep continually coming to our ears of transition, of seasons of life, hallelujah, of unpossessed possessions, hallelujah. That's why those messages keep coming to us, because it is God reaching out to us, letting us know there is greater potential in your life than where you're at right now. Hallelujah. There is greater potential. See, God always sees the potential. Glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We're always looking at the difficulty. Woo. Hallelujah. I can remember many times standing in this room looking at the difficulty. A lot of work. A lot of work. Put that ceiling up there. It's a lot of work. Paint that ceiling. Wasn't it, Brother Robert? Brother Jason, who else painted on that ceiling? Timmy, praise God. I mean, there's a lot of folks painted on this ceiling because we painted it once and thought, all right, looks good, and got down, looked up. Oh, that needs more paint. Then it was somebody else's turn. They got done. This spot here, there. Woo, so here we go up again. It was a lot of work. I couldn't help but think, you'll just have to excuse me, how many saw the post on Facebook, Brother Cisneros' church, and them out there staining that entryway? I couldn't help, in my mind, hearing Brother Cisneros telling those gentlemen, guys, it's going to be a lot of work. That's his famous line. I remember the first time he was in a work detail with us, tearing down that old trailer house next to our other little building. And he come around the corner. The first things when we was in there, said, all right, guys, let's get out there. Let's get after it. We got to get this done. Come around the corner, looked at it, stopped. I standing right beside him. He goes, Pastor, that's going to be a lot of work. Woo! Church, unpossessed possessions, it's going to be a lot of work. But I think you can do it. I think I can do it. And most of all, God thinks you can do it. Stand with me if you would here tonight. Could I have a piano player? Hallelujah. Unpossessed possessions, it is God's great desire that we possess them. Hallelujah. It is God's desire that we have them. That's why He gave us the promise about them. That's why He gave us His Word to show us, oh, hallelujah, the potential we have in our Christian life. And a lot of folks say, well, that's just you. No, that's not just me. That's just God. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of just me. It's not a matter of just you. It's a matter of just God. Hallelujah. And laying hold of that grace, that wonderful grace that He brings to us, that He takes the time and He goes to the effort to bring a message to my soul. And His desire is that I will have ears and I will hear, and then I will do. I will do. I will do. I'm just going to throw this in here as closing. Don't ever think that it's just a little thing. When God speaks to your heart, either about something in your life that needs to change, don't even think because it's a little thing, it's not that serious. Because it is. How many realize little things on little things on little things? I mean, Brother Lucas, I could take a penny and I could throw it at you and I could hit you right in the forehead. You'd probably laugh. Think, that's funny. Oh, man, she's going to beat me up. But if I took 50 pennies in a roll, it's just a penny. I mean, it's just 50 little pennies. Are you getting the picture? If God puts his finger on a little thing, that means he wants me to become faithful in a little thing. Yeah. What's he doing? He's teaching me how to follow. And when I can become faithful in a little thing, then he'll begin to show me greater things. And because I've been faithful in a little thing, I'll launch out and I'll step into that bigger thing. Yeah. So I mean, I understand that. Because God called me to preach. Not very long after I was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, God called me to preach. But you know, he didn't tell me anything about pioneering a church. He didn't tell me anything about buying a 13,000 square foot building. He didn't tell me anything about all the work that was going to be involved in renovating. He didn't tell me anything about that. He just asked me if I'd preach his gospel. And I said yes. And he just kept calling me to greater things. Will you evangelize? Yes. Will you pastor? Yes. Will you pioneer a church? Yes. It's time to go bigger. Yes. But you got to start little. And he will continue to take you to higher ground. See, Paul talked to the Corinthian church. He said, you're still babes. I would feed you meat, but you're still babes. You're still drinking the milk. What is that? They weren't possessing what was theirs. They were content being a baby. Paul said, it's time to grow. It's time to grow. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. Oh God, I praise your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for your marvelous grace. Lord, it's been on my life. I thank you, Lord, for your long suffering. Hallelujah. For those times when I haven't possessed my possession. And Lord, you just kept calling my name. You just kept bringing it to me, God. I praise you, Lord, and I thank you. God, I thank you for this message tonight. It has stirred my heart. It has stirred my soul. Lord, knowing, God, that there is greater potential that I still need to lay hold of, God. There's greater things, Lord, you're desiring for me to do, Lord God, for this church, your kingdom, God. Oh, Lord, I want to make sure that first love's on fire. I want to make sure I'm possessing, Lord, everything, God, that you've brought to me. Hallelujah. So I can go higher. I can go deeper. I can go farther. I can do greater. Hallelujah. Blessed be the King. Glory, honor, and praise be given unto our God. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of all the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, let's come. Let's come around these altars here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. If there's something we haven't been possessing, hey, let's not be still any longer. Hallelujah. Let's rise up. Let's possess the land. Let's possess the promise. Let's get a hold of it and let's get it back going in our hearts and in our lives tonight.